So we are we're going to jump right into our verses this morning. We're going to read those first just to get you the base understanding of what we're talking about today, and then I'll explain it more. And so we're in Exodus 3, 1 through 15. So Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Turn there, go there in your devices, whatever you got. And so we can all read together. It'll be on the screen if you don't have something with you. Oh, by the way, I'm Pastor Jimmy. I think all you guys know me. So if you don't, I'm Pastor Jimmy. Yeah, you too. So let's jump in. Let's read Exodus 3. We're going to do 1 through 15. Follow along as you can. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will turn aside to see what this great sight is, why the bush is not burned.' When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. And he said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel have come to me, and I've also seen the oppression for which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' He said, 'But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt, and you shall serve God on this mountain.' Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am remembered throughout the ages.'" And so that's our base, our scripture we're gonna flow off of today. And so you'll reference back to that as we go. So here I am. Moses said this to God. God says, "I am." These are three words, though, three words that literally can change your life. Now, I'm not up here to try to give you a feel-good sermon. I'm not trying to say, you can do it. I'm not trying to say this is a self-help moment. But these are truly three words that can change your life. And I was thinking through this. There's been words in my life that have changed my life for good and for bad since I can remember. I remember just getting my first job and saying, I accept that job. So I know it's more than three, so give me some leeway here. But there was some words were probably not good, like, "Oh, we won't get caught," right? We won't talk about those kind of things. But there are words that have changed my life. Let's see, words like, "I accept that for college." Like when I entered into college and entered the athletic training program, and I said yes and walked into there. So these things, these words have made impacts in my life the entire time. But there's one set of words that truly, for the better, completely and ultimately changed my life beyond my salvation time. We'll come back to that. And it was, "How you doing?" That was my wife. I didn't actually say that. So I just went up and said, "Hi." All right. So should I do better than Joey? "How you doing?" I can't even do it. I don't know. And so, but no, I didn't say those three words. But there were three words like, "Hey, man, you're beautiful. Man, you're awesome." I knew her name. So, because we had friends that were together, like the same, in the same college or whatever. And so I'd seen her, but we didn't really know each other. Matter of fact, I had probably dated like three Courtneys, so it just took me that long to find the right one, right? And so So, but I didn't know a whole lot about her except she was amazing. She was beautiful. And I mean, honestly, and I can say this and say that, and I've told you guys before, I knew from the moment that like we locked eyes and I walked up to her and we danced and I said, this is it. This is the woman. And she'll tell you, it took her a lot longer to figure that out. All right? But hey, come on. She can't resist me, right? But no, it took longer for her to figure that out. And so, but I remember over time getting to know her more. Right? And so we get on dates and we begin more words exchanging and talking and just growing and knowing each other. And then came those words on my knee in the midst. So I was wearing rollerblades, knee pads, and a helmet. Yeah, it's crazy. It wasn't this romantic thing, but so we talked. We knew we were going to get engaged. We even bought the ring together. I wasn't real romantic, but we knew. There was no doubt. But what I didn't want it. I wanted there to be a surprise, and you didn't have, you know, all these YouTube videos to look at today and you get ideas. But we were at her mom's house, and we were going to get ready to go rollerblading, and we almost died a couple of times grabbing hold of signs and things. It was fun. But I put the ring in my pocket. You know, I tried to kind of stuff it back just in case she wouldn't see it. Just, you know, trying to make some kind of surprise. And we're downtown. There's this gazebo. And I thought, this is it. At least it's kind of romantic. And so literally on rollerblades, up on the gazebo, which is fun, by the way, to get down and up on your knee, I proposed. And I said, will you marry me? Four words that changed my life. And then a few months down the road, the planning, all that goes on, and you know, there's more words. I will. I do. Yes, I will. Now, here's a little secret. We never actually said those words. So we don't know why. We don't know our the guy leading our thing never asked us those. You know, and so we did the ring thing, so it's official. But seriously, three words that changed. And over the years, I've grown to love this woman more and more every day. I've grown to this intimate relationship that grows every day. And every day, I get up and I say, here I am. Some days I'm better than others when loving her the way I should, but every day that love grows a little bit, and I just say in my heart to her, here I am. And I think about this, and I think about Moses and his words to God. And so on that mountain, and it's further down, but at some point, Moses asks, what do I say your name is? And I thought about that, you know, with my wife. I knew her name, but I didn't really know her. And so why did Moses ask this? Why did Moses come up and ask God, what do I say your name is? And here's kind of some background with Moses. So if you heard the story, you've seen the cartoons, the videos, Moses was put in a basket, went down the river, right? And he became part of the Pharaoh's family. And he grew up, I mean, as the son of a Pharaoh. An amazing, I mean, like, opportunity, you would think. And then at some point, he murdered a guy. He knew there was something wrong going on. He was really a Jew. Something just in his heart wasn't right. And this Egyptian army guy, he killed him, right? And so he ran away and ended up in the wilderness all by himself. And growing up in the Egyptian time, he obviously knew about little g gods. He knew they were out there, but he didn't, at least as far as he knew, God was obviously there, but he didn't know about the God. He didn't grow up in the culture. He didn't know what was going on. So he's out in the wilderness by himself. He ends up meeting a girl, getting married, getting his life rocked and changed, and ends up becoming a shepherd on a mountain with sheep. And so here he is doing his thing. This miraculous sign happens. And he knew that there were little gods out there. He knew about them, but he wanted to see, what God is this? And so when he asked him, who do I say you are? This was a deeper question than, hey, I'm Jimmy, what's your name? This was a, who are you? Obviously, there's a bush over here burning that's not on fire. You're different. But who are you? What's your character? What do you like? And God has just asked him to go back to the people of the person he killed and talk to them to get his people free. And he needs to know that who this God is. And so it's a deeper question to find out who is this God? And so Moses says, who do you say What's your name? What do I tell them? And here's God's response. I am. Two simple words. So much meaning. And so when we translate this, when you look at the I am, originally it was really written YHWH. It had no consonants because they didn't know how to say it. They didn't want to say it. There was a reverent fear for the Lord there. And so they didn't even know how to say it. They just know this is what we wrote. This is what God gave us. And so this is his name. And there's some cultures, there's some Jewish rabbis, a story about that it really, it stands, it's like the breath. It's just the breath of God. And so it's kind of cool. It's a long story that we just don't have time to go into, but it could even just be the breath of God. And so when we breathe, we're speaking his name. It's kind of just a cool little thing to think about. And am I really just speaking God's name all the time? And so Yahweh, and we added these vowels later on so we could say his name, Yahweh. But here's what it is. It just means, and there's Hayah. That's the Hebrew for it. That's as close as I can get to the name of it. Yeah, I like that. And so, but it means to be an active presence. And so this means that I am, I have been, I will be. It's this verb that crazily we don't have a word for. It's past tense, present tense, and future tense all wrapped up into one. And so what God said here is ultimately, I am, I'm the Lord. So if you look in your Bibles, even in our verse today, you'll see the Lord is capitalized. That's that name. And then Jehovah was another name given and used. But ultimately, what it means is I have always been and I will always be. It's an active presence in your life forever. He just has been. He is. He will be. And so it just says a lot about just two little words that God used to tell Moses who he was. And so some of the things that Moses would think about and some things we can think about today when I'm going to ask you in a little while, what is your response to the I am? Here's some things to think about. These are just four or five little characteristics of many that you can look up of God. So one thing he was thinking was, he says, God is self-existent and therefore dependent on nothing else for his own existence. His own existence. That word that I just said. All right? And so he doesn't need you and I. He needs nothing. He's independent on his own. I mean, if I'm gonna serve a God, man, that's the one I want, right? The character, the who he is, that just is. He's the creator and sustainer of all things. He created you. He created me. He created the world. He created my wife. Woohoo! Right? So he created everything. He's immutable. Big word that means he doesn't change. Man, if I want to believe in a God, I want to know someone that's not going to change in the circumstance, right? He's going to be the same no matter what. I know exactly how he's going to act, how he's going to love me, what's going to happen. Obviously, he's God and he's sovereign and in control and he can move any way he wants. But his character doesn't change ever. He's eternal in existence. He's outside of time. You guys ever want to have a conversation about that? Go talk to Kale. So, but he's outside of time. He's eternal. And so this is the God. These are the things that when he said, I am, that I am. Quick sidebar. You guys ever watch Popeye? I am that I am. I tried to do his voice last hour. It totally failed, so I won't do it this time. But Popeye used to say that. And it just rolls in my head. I'm a kid at heart. I'm a youth pastor. Come on. And so this is the God he's talking about. So this big point we can take away from what's in a name, especially in God's name, is that, and the biggest thing I think that God wants us to hear right now is that he was with Moses. And so it went from Hayah to Iyah, which is will be. Again, it's that past, present, and future act and existence. That is the I am. And we could do a complete study in weeks of just his name. And I would encourage you to read up if you haven't to do some of that. But it just gives you just this understanding of the great God that we get to be in his family and serve and be called sons and daughters. And so on top of all of that, that's God. That's who he is. And the cool thing is we, you know, as we talk about the triune God, the Trinity. We sang about it in our song. You have God, you have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so these three make up the Trinity. And they all carry the existence of these names inside of them. So you have three people, one God all together. They all carry the same existence. And so Jesus, when he came down to the earth, if you start to question, well, they say Jesus is God, but can he really be? And so if you truly believe what God's word says, it is true, it was given to us, it was breathed out by the Holy Spirit and written down by man, it's immutable, it can't change, all these things, then what we believe and what we read has to be true. And so here's what Jesus says about himself and the characteristics of God. There it is. So one, Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever he will be. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. Matthew 28:18-20. Many of you will be familiar with this. Jesus came to them. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then there's this multitude of I am statements in John. Again, I encourage you to do a study of just the I am statements in the book of John. Truly understand who God is, who Jesus is. But we just see these existence in our life, this activeness in our life in Jesus and God and then the Holy Spirit who is inside of us. Once we accept this free gift of God, he gave us the Holy Spirit who goes with us wherever we go, who is our comforter, our counselor, who gives us wisdom, who tells us and speaks to us what the Lord says. And so these are amazing, amazing things to understand when you get ready to respond to the I am. So here's what I thought we would do today. We're going to use the verses we just read about Moses, and we're going to take his life, his example, and see how that can play out in our life today. What can we take from Moses on what was done to him, how he responded, all those things? How can we take him and respond to that? Okay? And so, lessons learned from Moses. That's where we're at. And so, first thing is Moses made some bad choices. I've never made bad choices in my life, have you? Right. No. So, I already told you about some of my responses. Oh, yeah, we won't get caught. Right? And so, Moses made bad choices. We make bad choices. Moses killed a guy, right? Had to leave, ran into the wilderness. So here's the thing. Moses couldn't control how he got to Egypt. God is completely in control of life, but we make choices that can bring us closer to God or further away from him. And so the cool thing is even though Moses made those choices and made some bad choices that got him where he was, he then had a here I am moment. So Moses had this here I am moment. In the midst of that, in the wilderness, by himself, doing okay. He had a job. He had a wife. He had kids. He had probably a multitude of sheep. He was rich. But here's the thing. God didn't leave him there. God was really with him the whole time. God came to him and witnessed to him and said, hey, look, here I am. So God didn't leave him in the wilderness. So it doesn't matter what choices you've made, what bad or good you've done in your life, God says, I am. And even in other parts of Scripture, he says, here I am. Do you see me? God forgives, God redeems. And so you're not left out there because of the choices you might have made in your life. Other cool thing about this, and it's here I am moment, God met Moses right where he was. He was doing his job. He had been a shepherd for years. He'd been on probably that same mountain hundreds of times and not seen this bush. And then all of a sudden, he looks over and there's this bright light. He looks at it and it's fire, but the bush isn't burning. I probably would have ran away. Moses says, I'm going to go check that out. So he met Moses exactly where he was in the everyday, mundane job and instances of his life. So Moses took notice of something that God was doing, right? And so, and because of it, because Moses took notice of what God was doing, thousands of lives were changed. So he had his here I am moment there, and a here I am moment later. And because of that, lives were changed. People were set free, taken out of bondage, out of slavery, because of one time when God says, Moses, Moses. And instead of running away, he says, here I am. And he responded. He paid attention to what God was doing. So in that moment, in that time when Moses says, here I am, here's really what he's doing. He's confirming the presence and the existence of God in his life. This God he hadn't known before. This God he wasn't even looking for. But he's also the God that says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Seek after me and I'll seek after you. He says, "Draw. I want to know you more. I want to know you intimately." This I am says, come on. But sometimes even when we're not looking for him, if we'll just see what's going on around us, we'll find him. So me, I had my here I am moment not a long time ago. 45, I think is what I just turned. About 24, I truly came and really said, Lord, I want to verify the existence and the presence of you in my life. Prior to that, and you guys, this is no news story for all you've been around, but as a kid, I walked an aisle probably every summer. Every summer at camp, I walked an aisle and said some prayers, and then in church a few times as I was growing up. And what I realized was, is I wasn't in those moments, I wasn't verifying the existence and the presence of God in my life. I was wanting you to see me. I was more worried about, I wanted you to see me walk that aisle and come up and give me a hug and say, good job. And so it took till 24 years old for that to happen, sitting in the back of the church, being very active in the church, being very active in youth ministry, and God sitting back there 2 weeks in a row going. And I kept saying, no. This is, can't be true. But finally, and I don't know. I have this weird, crazy thing that the Holy Spirit kind of kicked me out of my chair and pushed me into going. I finally said yes. And so I walked that aisle. And again, what I found out was at this point, these words are just so true. Verifying the existence and the presence of God in my life, hopefully giving him rightful place in my heart, in my life. And so that was my here I am moment. And so I have this question, you know, for you this morning. Have you had that first here I am moment? Have you had that time where you confirm the presence and existence of God in your life, not by anything that you have done, but by accepting the free gift of his son and the salvation that comes because of it? Have you said that first? Here I am. Because here's the thing. Whether we hear it or not, God is standing there and he's saying, Kaya, Kip, Steve. You're like, he's going to say my name? God is calling you. He's calling all of us. He wishes that all know the truth of his son. So your response, and hopefully your response today, if you haven't, is, here I am. And if you've had that first response, you've had that here I am, are you paying attention to what God is doing around you? Are you paying attention to him, and are you saying, here I am? Somebody's going fast. So Isaiah, you know, in the book of Isaiah, we read where Isaiah, as he's sitting down and the angel of the Lord is there and he's got this coal, but he just says, here I am, Lord, send me. Are you ready for that? Here I am. Have you said that? Are you ready to go? Can you be like Samuel in the book of Samuel? He's laying down in bed and he hears this voice. And he jumps up and he runs into Eli. Eli's a priest, basically, that he's being trained up by. And he says, did you want something? And Eli's like, dude, I'm asleep. Go back to bed. And so he goes back to bed and he hears it again. And this time Samuel runs to Eli and Eli goes, oh, I know what that is. He says, the next time that happens, say, Lord, here I am, your servant. So Eli, or Sam goes back to bed and the Lord says, Eli, or excuse me, Sam. And he says, here I am, Lord, your servant. So awake, asleep, active, in your job, at Starbucks, in Dylan's, yes, even at Starbucks. God could say, hey, Jimmy, go over there. And am I saying, here I am? Sometimes I wish sometimes that he'd give me more of that burning bush moment. Like, Lord, could you please just make it that clear sometimes? But most of the time it's not, right? It's like a little voice, a little spirit, a little nudge. And am I ready in the big miraculous and the little miraculous, because they're all miraculous. But am I ready to say I am? Are you ready to say, here I am? So, a little more on Moses' life. He had his here I am moment. And here's one of the amazing things I love about God. Here's what God did for Moses. He redeemed and used his experiences in his past to fulfill his calling for his glory. A murderer who ran away is now being used by God to fulfill his calling for the glory of God, for what his purposes, his reasoning, his glory, so the people of Israel and the people in Egypt will know who God really is. Not this Pharaoh that thinks he's a god, but so who they will know who he really is. So again, it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what yes is wrong, yes is you said, or what you've done. God can redeem everything by the blood of Jesus and use you to testify about him, about his goodness and his glory to other people around you. You are not disqualified ever. He just wants you to say, here I am. So he redeems our experiences. He forgives and restores our sins. But he also uses. So here's Moses, ends up in the wilderness. He's living out in the middle of nowhere, tending to sheep. But here's the cool thing. While he's there, he's learning the lay of the land. How to get around, where to go, how to get from one place to another. Where is the water at if I need water? How do I live in the middle of nowhere with nothing? And so God is taking those experiences and he's going to use them here in a little bit when he gets ready to take the people of Israel out of Egypt into that same wilderness. So who knows? You may be at a job that you just don't really like, but you feel like you can't leave. You may be doing things that you're not sure what God's doing. Who knows what experiences he's taking those and going to use those later in life? Who knows what he's going to take and use? So do everything you can right now to learn and say, here I am. For me, I spent years as an athletic trainer. I love that job. What I found out is I loved the most about that were the kids, the youth. And so I learned in those 11 years a lot of things, but most of what I learned is my love for youth and how to interact and how to hang out. I haven't completely figured them out yet. Someday maybe we won't or will, I don't know. But I learned I love youth. And so I even got to serve with youth at my church at the Ridge at the time. And so God used those experiences to where I am today. He used missions to train me up to help me with this. Let me get a drink here. So one of my here I am moments in my life was coming back from a mission trip with Adventures of Missions. And honestly, not knowing, I was, again, really honestly a relative Christian. This was just a year or two after I had said that first here I am. And God called me and my family to Kentucky for a summer. And when I felt like that calling was there, it was a yes, Lord, here I am. I asked my wife, it was a yes, Lord, here I am. So he sent us to Kentucky. Again, green person, athletic trainer, God's taking us to go lead people into missions. And he provided people in my life to train me up. People who taught me, really, first and foremost, how to spend more time with him. Because that was the most important thing. Because you can't lead out of a place of emptiness. And so they taught me how to do that. And so we came back, and just over the next few years, God opened a door for me to go to TUMI at World Impact for seminary. And in that moment, he gave me more men and women that taught me up. He gave me knowledge through books. All these things, even to the fact, like on missions, I learned how to build a ramp Like, you wouldn't think that'd be really beneficial in just normal ministry, but to be able to help and serve people and help and show the love of God in a physical act, that all helped. And so I can get over here, and I can look back and go, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, right? And so you never know what God's doing and what He's going to use. So do the best of your ability for the joy of the Lord and for His glory in everything that you do. So all your experiences, they all can prepare you to walk out your calling. I'm not worthy to stand up here. Moses says to God, who, me? I'm not worthy to do that. But the reason I can stand up here is God. Because I know He's with me. So you may not even feel like you can do the thing God's calling you to do. Maybe you can't. But with Him, if He's calling you to it, you can. I use the gifts and the callings that I feel like He's given me to do this, but the only reason I can stand on the stage is because I know He's with me and His Holy Spirit's in me. But don't push away something you feel like God's calling you to because you feel like you can't do that. Seek wise counsel, pray, seek after Him, and see if that's really what He's calling you to do. And then go do it. Get prepared the best way you can. Okay, so this is more about God, what He was doing in there again. But this next point is that here's what God did. He saw them, He heard them, and He wanted to set His people free. So He told Moses, He says, I see the pain and the struggle and the suffering that's going to my people. I hear their cries. I want to set them free. I want to see them be set free. And what He did is He called Moses again, who probably wasn't worthy, who couldn't speak very well, who had killed the person of the people He's going back to talk to. But He said, you, I want to use you. You know, God says, in your weakness is my strength, right? And so God says, I will be with you. But here he says, Moses, go. Go be the voice. Go be the mouthpiece for me, for my people. And He used a man to set His people, the Israelites, free. In the same way today, He's using a man named Jesus to set us free. God hears you. Do you hear me, church? God hears you. Even when you feel like maybe He doesn't, He hears you. He sees you. He knows you. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free from your sin. He wants to set you free from your fear. He wants to set you free from anxiety. He wants to set you free from depression. He wants to set you free from all these things. He wants you to call you into His family. So He's here to set you free, and He's using Jesus to do that. And so finally, and I probably beat this down, but God was with Moses. Right? He said, go do this because I'll be with you. So right now, here's what Moses could have done. When Moses walked up and God said, hey, go do these things, what Moses could have said is, but wait a minute. Whoa. I know you want me to go do this, but where were you when? Where were you when I was in the wilderness? Where were you when I was struggling? Where were you when? Moses could have said that. We can say that today, right? In the midst of all the junk that's going on, the COVID, the losing our jobs, the dealing with our with problems that are well beyond us, you name it. I mean, there's just an unlimited list. I could just say, well, I hear you, God, but what about this? Where were you when? Where were you when I was hurt? Where were you when I struggled? Where were you when? Well, we could easily say that now. But God is moving. God wants to set us free. And what God says in any of that, I will be. I was with you. I am here. And I will always be with you. And so it doesn't, don't want to belittle anything. Times are tough right now. And we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know. We don't know. But God is using this time to break down idols, to raise up His church, to do all these things. So He's in the move. And when you just can't feel like you can take that next step or get up out of bed that next morning, remember these words. I am I will be. I always have been. I always will be. So, our first response, the very first "here I am," is that salvation response. That first one that says, I need a Savior. I need you to verify your existence and your activeness in my life. I need you as Lord. Jesus, come. Here I am. So that's my first "here I am." My second "here I am" is to respond every day to what He wants me to do. Here I am, "here I am" response is not a once or twice thing. It's daily. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. What do you have for me today? I hear you, Lord. Here I am. What do you want? So it's a daily response, constantly in our life, following after Jesus. And so here's our big idea for the day. A response of "here I am" to the "I am" leads to a life where God is ever present and active, and even in the mundane day-to-day stuff, a life in which you can live out God's calling, a life set free from bondage, and a life that is marked by helping guide others into that same. Here I am.